We want to reduce and eventually eliminate on-air fund drives. Please go to WBAI.org and become a member and stay tuned for exciting new programming launching on WBAI in the very near future. Thank you.
Nothing will cause a greater change to the climate than a nuclear war, even a very limited one. For example, a short time after, very few crops will grow in North America, Europe, or Asia. But how likely is one? What's the status of the international movement to ban nuclear weapons? Award-winning author and activist Alice Slater and Dr. Heidi Huttner of SUNY Stony Brook will lead a discussion with other activists on the next episode of Ken Gale's Ecologic, Tuesday, June 19th at 8 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Mr. Leopold Bloom, ate with relish the
radio, 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 radio,
radio,
Bloomsday.
Coffin now. Got here before us, dead as
poor victim.
This is Carrot O'Brien. Please join me and Janet Coleman as we host Radio Bloomsday Greatest Hits, unforgettable performances of James Joyce's Ulysses from Alec Baldwin, Mark Maron, Bob Odenkirk, Jerry Stiller, John Lithgow, Anne Mira, Kate Valk, Bernadette Quigley, Wallace Shawn, and many more on June 16th from 7 p.m. to midnight here on WBAI.
Thanks to you.
Thank you.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for listening. It's currently 8 o'clock, and this is WBAI New York. Time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Bumpity bump for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Bumpity bump!
A very good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hello.
What, is that it?
Hi.
I see you there. No, I'm sorry. I'm looking for other people.
Howdy.
I'm not dissing you or anything like what? That. I just usually there's a whole crowd of people in here, and I just see one person.
This is not enough.
No. All right, Kyle's here. I'm here too, Emmanuel.
Hi.
Apparently nobody else is here. Wow. Okay. I guess that happens occasionally.
Oh, you're right. It is. It's very spacious today.
It's very. Well, I kind of like it this way.
Huh.
Well, the World Cup's tomorrow. I guess that must be it. You know.
Yeah.
It's got to be something like that. Welcome. Welcome to you, Kyle. Welcome to our listeners. We're doing a special program tonight, because can you believe the conference, the Hope Conference, only 1 week away? My goodness, it just sneaks up on you.
Yeah, it's the much anticipated, long awaited, now imminent Hackers.
Wait a minute. No. Hold on.
On
the planet. I'm sorry. No, it's not. It's a month away, not Earth. A week away.
Oh. Oh, yeah, it's June.
Yeah, I had the wrong calendar thing again.
Oh, that's
true. Wouldn't happen if I had the hacker calendar in front of me, but I don't. Okay. Well, we don't have to panic nearly as much as we've been panicking, but it's a month away. All right. A month and a week. How about that? Still, five weeks away.
Still much anticipated.
Yeah. And boy, are we looking forward to it.
Well, gosh, there's so much to say. We'll talk about it, but it's really coming together. There is great enthusiasm, and we're getting all kinds of participation. It's pretty incredible.
So some really amazing ideas from people. Why don't you do this? Just the things that hackers do. You know, we have all this bandwidth, like a ridiculous amount of bandwidth, more bandwidth than any hacker conference in America. 10 gigabit, right? That's accurate.
Yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, just one attribute of an event, and of course, a hacker event. You're going to want to be able to communicate, of course, and get out to the internet. Yes,
and hackers stream the talks to people who can't make it, which is another thing that we take great pride in, and something that the Germans inspired us to do at CCC when the years we couldn't go, we were able to watch it as if we were there. But just to put it in perspective, we have a 10 gigabit connection. What percentage of that was used in the last conference?
I think I'm not sure about the last event, but the saturation of that connection, I think, peaked the first year we had it at around like 1.4 or under 2 gigabit or just over 1. That's the most traffic there was, and that was during a talk where we had a lot of interest and ended up that quite a few people were streaming it because they just couldn't get a good vantage point.
They were streaming it from the conference itself.
They were on site, and they were using the local connection and streaming from a host, like many of the streaming companies out there. We used one of them at the time, and it really, really helped in that situation. Of course, this time we're growing a bit. There's going to be a little bit more seating, a little bit different layout than people had maybe noticed in the past. So that's going to be changed. That's going to be a little bit different, maybe to avoid a situation like that. But we'll still have the bandwidth.
The biggest complaint we get is that there are too many people, and it's too popular, and I hear that, and we're taking steps by growing, by having more space and keeping an eye on how many people come in so that we don't have too many people and people are able to see as many talks as possible.
And, we're kind of a medium, we like to be kind of a local, kind of a small event, even though we're international. I mean, there are people that come from all over for our event, for HOPE, and we really love for them to be here, but that smallness is kind of important. But
it's funny you say smallness. We're talking 3,000 people.
I am, and it's kind of an exaggeration, but when you grow a little bit, you always end up kind of growing, grow the resource a little bit, right. But there's, a lot that doesn't get used because you kind of have to make that bit of a leap. That's why I end up when we pushed for a bit faster internet connection, we weren't able to completely use it. And now we're sort of used to it.
Two out of 10, you said, is what we peaked at. 10 gigabit, 2 gigabit is what we use. And we're trying to do more, and we're trying to get more. Actually, 10 gigabit isn't fast enough. We want more.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's really funny. So we've now had this for 2 or 3 events, we have a switch on site, and I think some of that hardware is itself becoming faster, in that it can accommodate many 10 gigabit connections. And what that means, this is kind of exciting. What that means is we have the possibility of accommodating additional internet connections. Now, at the time when we leapt from our 50 megabit microwave link up to this incredible 10 gigabit speed, we were changing our method of transport. We're using fiber optics.
By the way, we were told this was impossible.
It was at the time incredibly impossible. There's no way, no reason. That's the other common thing when you're doing something. When you're on the right path and people are telling you it'll never work or you don't need that, that's the time when you make that leap.
Well, in 1994, at our first conference, they said the conference itself would never work.
Exactly.
In fact, it was the biggest conference in the States at that time. And, we had been to a few in Europe. And everybody just had opinions as to why that could never happen here. And not only did we make it happen here, we made it happen right in the middle of Midtown Manhattan. So
well, I always knew. I mean, I think I had a strong feeling that, you know, New York City itself is very well connected. It's really just navigating that. And being hackers, we figured it out. Yeah. And we had seen it used overseas, optics. And the thing with that technology is it's incredibly flexible, especially when you get into some of the technical, some of the specifics. You can invest at sort of a reasonable cost for especially an organization like ours or smaller events and ended up reusing and multiplying the amount of data you can send over this medium. So in particular, another thing that we had seen overseas done quite frequently was the use of wave division multiplexing. And if you know anything about telephones, telegraph and, you know, the old sort of analog systems, multiplexing was incredibly important. So it's not an unfamiliar concept. But with fiber optics, you can do some pretty cool stuff with light and physics. And basically, by possibly moving towards that, we are able to have many different kinds, many different connections for our uplink to the internet over the same fiber optic. They just use different wavelengths or channels of light. It's somewhat similar to what ISDN was and so on and so forth. But this is fiber optics and some cool physics stuff. So and of course in that there are multiple types and so on and so forth, and it gets a bit more technical. I'm not an expert by any stretch at all myself, but suffice to say we've seen this employed elsewhere, and we're sort of at the precipice of maybe incorporating this. As I said, our infrastructure can handle multiple 10 gigabit and faster connections. So it's really about additional providers and some of the equipment required to combine wavelengths of light and so on and so forth. So we're really excited about the possibility of that. We've been approached by different providers. If you yourself are a provider and you're interested in supporting hackers and you would like to see us reach, 40 or 80 or 100 gigabit as far as uplink, even, you know, just as a demonstration, we're very interested in talking to you. Please, we would like to include you in the pool of people who have suggested maybe we move towards this. This is a capability we want to have. We know that, once you establish these the experience and you understand how to do it, you can set it up in the future. And that just allows us, as, you know, video and virtual reality and whatever else people are running on the internet, as that stuff advances, we'll be ready for it and we'll have excess capacity on into the future. So that's just one element of our infrastructure and something we're pretty excited about for Hope. But there are a myriad of other things. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of a necessary resource when you have 3,000 hackers all getting together and talking and sharing information and of course many people around the world will be watching online.
The conference takes place next month, July 20th through 22nd, Hotel Pennsylvania in Midtown Manhattan. You can get more info at hope.net. In fact, I'm looking at the website right now. We're doing something else that's kind of fun this year. It's our 12th conference. We're having a little display known as Hacker's Dozen, where a dozen different types of hackers are profiled. And so far, we're rolling them out about once a week. We have the coder. We have the social engineer, we have the lock picker, we have the freaker, the phone freaker, the whistleblower, and the latest one, the journalist. And I think that's a particularly good one because every good journalist is a hacker at heart. There are so many ways you can apply the hacker mentality. So it's very important to realize that it's not just hunched over a keyboard tapping out code. Yeah, the first hacker in our list was a coder. Maybe that's the most obvious description of what a hacker is all about. But there are so many ways you can apply these talents. Kyle just said he's not an expert. Yeah, you know what? A lot of us don't consider ourselves to be experts. But in the eyes of mainstream society, we are experts because we're talking about this and we're taking on these challenges and getting things done and meeting up.